Welcome to Camp Constitution Radio with your host, Hal Shurtleff. This show is heard on WBCQ The Planet every Monday and Thursday evenings at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can also pick up this show on Podomatic, Spotify, Amazon, and a couple of dozen other platforms. It is brought to you by Camp Constitution, which, among other things, runs a week-long family camp, ladies' retreats, weekend retreats, and family retreats. And you can learn more about us by visiting our website, campconstitution.net. We also host a program on a new format called catchingfire.news. That is that was created by our good friend Tom DeWeese of the American Policy Center. And just go to that website, sign up for free. And I do a show once a week, and you can they're all archived, and there's many other great hosts as well. Not that I'm so great, but the other ones are great and definitely worth a listen. What I'm discovering is that a lot of people have gotten a little tired of, very tired of mainstream cable, even the conservative, in quotation marks, cable programs, which, some like Fox and Newsmax, they do have some good programs, but I think sometimes people get a little tired of that and they're looking for other frank speech, for example. They're looking for other forms, podcasts, Joe Rogan, for crying out loud. He's a guy that gets more people listening to him than CNN. So I think that might be the wave of the future. My son recently told me that the cable TV is sort of a passé. And when you see the ads, they're geared towards old guys and old ladies. So that tells you something, like me. Anyway, lots happening. Ever since the Supreme Court ruled in our favor, which has been a whirlwind the last few weeks, interviews on every imaginable program or also, media coverage 2 days after the decision was given. We heard that the Satanic Temple of Salem, Massachusetts, wants to fly their flag on Boston City Hall Plaza. All that really is doing is giving this city an easier reason not to restart their program, their flag raising program, which they canceled. Suspended, soon to be canceled. But since the decision was made, I've heard from some people around the country, and it's very interesting because this case is much bigger than just one flag flying on City Hall, Boston. A lady in Nashua, Beth, she, in October of 2020, she successfully raised what she calls the Protect Women's Sports Flag. She may have had it designed, and she had it flying for 1 day. It was supposed to be there for a week. And Nashua does have a similar program like Boston's. It's not identical, but it's similar. And the left-wing mayor, New Hampshire's a relatively somewhat conservative state, but you have the largest cities, and Nashua is one of the largest. It's not a large city, but New Hampshire it is, run by lefties, Democrats. Not like it's not Cambridge, Massachusetts, or Berkeley, California, but they're leftists or lefty. He thought it was offensive, and he ordered it taken down. It came down. She hired an attorney, and they actually, the city referred to our case to in defense of their actions. Of course, that's when our case was decided at the lower level. I guess that's one reason why we just couldn't settle, because if we settled, the lower standings, I think, may have stood, and it would have been used against liberty and freedom. So on May 3rd, her attorney wrote a letter and said, Shurtleff v. Boston, 9-0. And the city is doubling down, as a lot of them do. And they're going to, I understand, they're going to litigate this in federal court. So we'll hear from that sometime soon. Also, in Delaware, Ohio, I heard from a gentleman there, Jane, um, his, his last name is Morrison. He is with a pro family group. And now I've been to Delaware a number of times. I used to get out there maybe once, about six times a year. And it's a college town, but not really as liberal as, say, Cambridge. Anyway, the city was going to sponsor the flying of 72 rainbow flags all over downtown. And this pro-family group, James, I think his last name was Morrison. I'll be talking to him soon. We've been in touch with you. Anyway, they were emboldened by our lawsuit. And they petitioned the city to fly the pro-family flag. And the flag has a heart, and it has, I think, a figures. It's figures. It's an illustration of two parents and several children in the flag. And he made a great case for the protecting the nuclear family. You know, saying that it served mankind well since the beginning of history, and that it's been proven that family people from broken homes, they're more or less more apt to commit crimes, more apt to be in poverty, and all the downsides of a single parent home. Not to say there aren't some remarkable single parents doing an incredible job, but that's the exception, not so much the rule. The rule is single-family people, their children tend to be living in poverty. They usually don't graduate from high school. The suicide rates are high, all of negative things. So it's in the best interest of governments at every level to protect the family. But as it's been demonstrated that governments at most levels have warred against the traditional family, basically because they see the nuclear family as their threat. You know, in other words, and also a strong belief in God, that's also frowned upon very strongly by governments. Not all governments, not every town and city or county. Some are just the opposite, as we see in Florida and as we see in Missouri and as we see in other places. But in the Northeast, Midwest, and some of these Midwestern places, which is more conservative than the Northeast, and of course on the West Coast, those Oregon, Washington State, California are in the hands of the far left, and they're pretty wicked. But so the city of Delaware decided not to have any flag raising events, and so they're not going to be raising the rainbow flag or the pro family flag. And that's fine with me, I think. I think the city shouldn't be in the business of raising flags except the flag of the United States, the flag of that particular state they're in, and perhaps a town flag or city flag if they do have one. And I know a lot of towns and cities do have their own flag. And maybe the POW MIA flag to honor those that have been prisoners of war and never came back, missing in action, prisoner of war, missing in action. And I think some towns and cities already have such ordinances, and maybe our decision will just make that happen quicker. And then there was, in Randolph, Vermont, there was a gentleman who was running for state senate, but he and some parents were trying to get their school to take down a Black Lives Matter flag. You know, they're just, the lefties are just so obsessed with this Marxist terrorist group for some strange reason. And they've been trying to, and it's illegal. But if you have attorney generals in your state that are leftists, they're not going to, oh, they do. They're very selective in how they enforce it. So this gentleman brought our case to the attention of the folks in Randolph, which is a town. It's about 3 hours, 2.5 hours from here. Orange County is the county they're in, and I'm familiar with folks in Orange County. I used to set up an information table at the famous Tunbridge Fair. Anyway, I got a report that the town took down the Black Lives Matter flag rather unceremoniously, without any fanfare. And again, this is the whole idea of this, our case. Our case wasn't about getting people to take down other flags. It was simply about getting a permit to raise ours. The initial demand letter said that that the city of Boston had to allow us to fly our flag since it allows flags of others to fly, and that nothing in the they can't discriminate against the content. you know, because it's a Christian flag, they can't say that, well, it's religious, therefore it's a violation of the First Amendment, etc. You know, just like you can be a street preacher, you can pass out Bibles on the street. That doesn't mean the city endorses it. It just, but governments at all level have a fundamental purpose to protect people's free speech. That's the purpose of government, is protect. One of the essential tenets of a government is to protect the rights of people. And that's at all levels, whether it's at the town level, county level, state, or federal level. The purpose of government is to protect those God-given rights of the people. And if you don't believe in God, then you could say Darwin-given rights, but it's still their obligation to do that. And in my case, the city failed miserably. And the city could have just said, you know, let them fly their flag, no big deal. You know, they'll do it once a year, who cares? But I think they either had a total misunderstanding of the First Amendment, or maybe I'm speculating here. I know the city was very helpful when we raised the Gadsden flag a few years earlier. It would be in 14, I think, or 13, no issue. And the Gadsden flag triggers people too. Even though you can find a Gadsden flag at a government gift shop at a federal government, this historical place. They almost always have gift shops at these historical venues, and you can get a Gadsden flag there. So, but anybody can look at a flag and draw a different conclusion. I see a communist flag of China, and I don't feel too comfortable about it. Some people look at it and say, isn't this beautiful? They love communism. They love Chinese communism. And so they just think flying the flag of communist China is a great thing. Not so much me. Anyway, so this was sort of an interesting development. On this, and I'm sure there will be others, and they may even be some that I don't hear about. I do have a search engine, so when my name comes up somewhere, or Camp Constitution, I don't always get it, but I sometimes get it, get reports, so I might hear about it that way. And anyone listening to the show hears anything in their communities, please get a hold of me. You can go right to my Facebook page or right to our website, campconstitution.net, because I definitely like to network with these people. There was the city of Muskegon, Michigan. A couple of people tried to raise the Christian flag last year, and they were denied. It was reported in the local paper. I did call their newsroom. They never got back to me. And the two people mentioned in the article who were involved and who wanted to fly the flag, I have not been able to get a hold of them. I, you know, did a search and all, but I called a few numbers, but they were not the right numbers. So anyone listening to this show in that area would be interested. I'd be love to get in, because they should just, again, go to the city and reapply. In fact, maybe I will. I'll call the city itself and see if I can find out more information. Now, I want to talk about this incredible, well, actually two books. One of them is called 25 Lies, Exposing Democrats' Most Dangerous, Seductive, Damnable, and Destructive Lies and How to Refute Them, by Vince Everett Ellison. And he also wrote a book called The Iron Triangle. And the Iron Triangle is the black clergy, the black social worker, and the black preacher. And that was an earlier book by Vince. Now, I reached out to him. Now, what happened was I had seen him being interviewed on, I think, Fox and Newsmax. I heard him on a couple of local talk shows here in Boston area. And I said to my good friend, Reverend Stevie Kraft, I said, Rev, we got to get a hold of this guy. We need him. We need to have him, you know, network with him. So Rev bought his two books pretty quickly, and they're available on Amazon. In fact, I ordered the two books Saturday, and I got them delivered Sunday. I couldn't believe it. It's not, you know, I didn't pay any extra half overnight, but I was very happy to, and I'm already a good chunk through the 25 Lies book. And he's this gentleman, Vincent Ellison, is a black man, and he was raised on a cotton plantation. He's a little younger than I am. He had been a corrections officer, which is a pretty tough job. And he says, and he's a devout Christian. He says, I fear no man. He says, I fear God. I love God, but I fear no man. And he's not afraid. He actually says some really, really strong things against the Democrat Party. All of it, I believe, justified. He said, basically, it's a genocidal evil organization that has used the blacks to gain power. And he's of the opinion that if only 30% of Black Americans leave the Democrat Party, the Democrats lose their base. They will not be a major factor in politics. They'll still have people in Congress and local, they'll run cities and what have you. But so I'm just going to read the back of it, the back here, and I think you'll find it interesting. The explosive book that tells bold and uncomfortable truths about the Democrat Party using historical fact, current events, and biblical principles to build a to a shocking conclusion. Vince Ellison is America's most fearless truth teller. Agree or disagree with his thesis, open-minded readers must grapple with the persuasive power of his arguments, his mastery of facts, and his passionate love for mankind and our Creator. In fact, he does say that while he makes a very strong case and a damnable, damns the Democrats, he says, I'm compelled to love them, and the goal is to win them over, not to get them to double down. But you know, some of these folks who are just evil, in it for evil, will most likely not come around. You know, I think this displays the ultimate evil of what the party stands for. And not to say that the Republicans are all pure and pristine. I don't mean to say that one bit. There's plenty of problems in the Republican Party, but the vote they took for this abortion bill to make it legal everywhere to try to nullify the state's laws against it, and even before the Roe v. Wade decision is announced, this the Supreme Court case, which we think will be 5-4, that will uphold the Mississippi. I think it's Mississippi. I think it's either Missouri, the abortion law that I think that restricts abortions to 15 weeks. Which, you know, you think about it. It reverses Roe v. Wade, but it doesn't end abortion. But these lefties who are screaming bloody murder, you think that the Institute of Slavery has been brought back to it. And it's nothing but theatrics. They know that. Yes, abortions will be rarer and in some cases more hard to procure. But 15 weeks, that's the norm in Europe, Western Europe. The left is always looking, oh, we need to do things like they do in Western Europe. We need to have this socialist paradise like Western Europe. But when Western Europe does something they don't like, they don't mention it. So anyway, but this bill that they tried to pass, I think every Democrat in the House except one voted for it. And then it went to the Senate, and it was every Democrat but one, Joe Manchin from West Virginia. And because of the filibuster, you know, the filibuster is interesting, too. I'm digressing a little bit. But certain bills need 60 votes. Basically, unconstitutional bills need 60 votes. Things that are constitutional, it's a simple majority. You know, because the filibuster, there's several definitions. One is sort of a paramilitary invasion of a country or a military excursion that may not be approved by the governments of those folks involved in the military adventure. The other one would be where somebody holds the floor in the Senate and gives long-winded speeches, like the movie Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, where he held the floor for hours on end and he collapsed. That's the old style filibuster, but what we're talking about is a rule that the Senate made, and it said that certain bills, in order for them to proceed, have to have 60 votes. And that's, again, to stop unconstitutional bills that don't deal directly with the duties of the Senate. For example, you know, the budget, military issues, et cetera. The left uses it to their advantage when it helps them, when they don't have the majority, and now all of a sudden they want to get rid of it. It's a symbol of a bygone racist era. Of course, everything is racist, but it's okay when they use it to stop stuff. But when the Republicans use it, conservatives use it, then it's racist. And Chuck Schumer said that he used the word abomination, not passing this, abomination. He uses biblical terms to describe something so evil. This particular bill would have allowed abortions, not just up to 9 months, even after the baby's born. And it also would include gender selection. So if mom and dad find out they have a little girl and they want a boy, they kill the little girl. That is evil. That is wicked. And you know, when I heard about this, I was angry, but then I thought, you know, these people were made in the image of God. They're so wicked, and what makes them do something so, and they defend it with such vehemence as well. So you just have to pray for them, pray for their salvation. And I know it's tough, but the Bible doesn't say just pray for people that we like. Don't pray for people we don't like. You know, like what's his name there? Jonah, you know, he said, God said, you got to go to Nineveh. They got to repent. If they don't repent, I'm going to destroy them. And God, you know, Jonah said, amen, let's destroy them. I don't want to do this. But when God tells you to do something, you do it. So let me continue reading the back of the book. As a young man, Ellison began his career in the belly of the beast as a prison guard working in the worst cell block imaginable, the one housing mass murderers, rapists, child molesters, and others really released and whose crimes would never be redeemed in this world. Vince Ellison saw the face of evil up close. He knows it like few of us ever could. And it was to his dismay and sadness that he had seeing the same evil later in life, this time not in the faces of hardened incarcerated criminals, but rather in the eyes of the leaders of the Democrat Party. And I know he's talking about Chuck Schumer. In his stunningly persuasive work, Vince marshals his own experience and couples it with a learned and original analysis to conclude that the leaders of America's progressive, in quotation marks, party aren't just wrong in their policy stances. They are deliberately and intently destructive. Ellison painstakingly dismantles the 25 lies under Democrat policies and arguments and provides readers with the tools they need to understand and refute these myths and deceptions. Finally, Ellison implores his fellow Americans and Christians to open their eyes to the damage being done to the nation's heart and soul in the name of progressivism. And these two books you can get on Amazon. The Iron Triangle and 25 Lies, Vincent Everett Ellison. I interviewed him on our Catching News program, and we do hope to sponsor a regional tour of him at some point, hopefully sometimes, tell me what his schedule is. And there's some really exciting news. After Reverend Kraft reached out to Mr. Ellison, Mr. Ellison wanted Rev to be part of a black conservative Christian think tank that is under the process to be funded by Liberty University. And Professor David Bratt, a former congressman from Virginia who now sits as the head of the School of Economics at Liberty University. And what they want to do is they want to have this think tank try to discover the reasons why the black and white Christians aren't as unified as they need to be. And of course, I think Vince has a lot to offer because he's no holds barred. He's not, oh, it's because of racism and the white church this and the white church that. And we need like what's Dave Cathy of Chick-fil-A was groveling at the feet of a black talk show host. That's not what we need, folks. What we need is to the gospel of Jesus Christ needs to be first and foremost. And yes, I know as a white man, as a white Christian, I have different experiences growing up. We all do. Everybody does. And while I'm not a black man. I wasn't raised in a black family. So yes, there are some things that I can't possibly, I can empathize, you know, but I can't relate to because it wasn't part of my experience. But on the other hand, there are things that that I grew up, I had a unique set of circumstances that made me the way I am today. And I think that both groups of Christians have to understand that. But, you know, we worship with brothers and sisters of all different backgrounds. And the focus is Jesus Christ, not the skin color and not past crimes or past things that I had no control over. So, and I know that the enemy knows that the race card is something that can be used against this nation. And I've done other shows about, yes, slavery. Slavery was not unique to the United States. It wasn't all white people wanted slaves. Even in the southern states where they had large slave populations, there was a lot of people who didn't like slavery. It was something that, you know, if you're born into something, you know, if you were born in 1700 and there was slavery in your state, and then you're born in 1800 and it was just a condition that you tend to. And again, I'm not making apologies for it, but it's easy for people living today to look back and say, oh, that's so evil. And how could they have lived under slavery? How could they have put up with it? We put up with a lot of things today. We put up with slavery today, but it's slavery in China. So we don't see it. And we don't even want to talk about the slave labor used in countries and Muslim countries, slavery that still exists. We don't want to talk about it because it's not part of the narrative. Also, I want to talk about, the old dead white European males that did so much to end slavery. And it took a while, but by the time the Constitution was ratified, a good percentage of the states had abolished slavery. There was a story where Georgia had outlawed slavery before it was a colony, before it became a state, but it was the King George reinstalled it. So even in the deep south of Georgia, there was people that abolished slavery. And the fact that a great civil war was fought, and the ultimate, one of the goals of that war was the ending of slavery. And a lot of people, died. The result was, the 13th Amendment that did away with chattel slavery around the United States. So I think, this has to be an appreciation for that. And I had ancestors that fought and died in the Civil War, and I'm very proud of that heritage. So this book, these two books, they're kind of, there's something you read in some books you just don't want to put down, so I'm just going to review some of the chapters here. The first one is Nazis and Democrats, How I Discovered the Democrat Leadership Was Evil. And one of the things is the love affair that the Democrat Party has with Planned Parenthood. I tell you, Planned Parenthood is a wicked organization. Its founder was a pro-Nazi, racist, and anti-Semite, yet it enjoys the avid support of, I think, every single black elected official in D.C., every Democrat elected official in D.C., not the Republicans. Chapter 2, It's Only Politics, God Won't Hold You Responsible. So here he's talking about these black Christians that are Holy Ghost Bible believers, yet they support the Democrat Party, strongly support, which is just the opposite of the views the church holds. The Democrat Party wants to stop segregation. Not so much. Well, of course, historically, the Southern Dixiecrats were very much in favor of segregation. And today, they're resegregating, aren't they? They all black this and all black that, and black groups and that black group, and colleges are now having lounges for blacks. And this is not the old Dixiecrats. They're all dead. It's the modern Democrats that want that. The Democrat Party is based on love. Yes, like the love we saw during the riots of 2020. LGBTQ was all about equality, really. Well, we saw that it's not all about equality with our case in Boston, where the city has no problem not only raising rainbow flags and transgender flags, but they actively participate. They're going to be flying the rainbow flag all over Boston. They don't fly the Christian flag on Easter. They don't fly, they might put up a manger scene, but it's not theirs. They're not really promoting Christian values, but promoting the values of homosexual agenda. And by the way, we're all sinners saved by grace, and one sin isn't, in the eyes of God, a sin is a sin. We shouldn't be elevating them. We should be calling people to repentance. That's what it's about. Racism is a problem. That's chapter 8. And white privilege, critical race theory, and systemic racism should be taken seriously. That's chapter 12. So I don't have time. We're running out of time here. But I do, again, recommend Vince Ellison. You could probably just go to any social media like YouTube and put in Vince Ellison, and you'll see his speeches and presentations and learn a lot about it. He's a phenomenal guy. I highly recommend it. And you can also go to catchingfire.news, where our interview should be uploaded very soon. Well, thank you for listening. You've been listening to Camp Constitution Radio with your host, Hal Sherliff. And until next week, may God richly bless you.